Hello and welcome to the podcast. You are listening to the Reversing Diabetes with Delane MD podcast. This is episode number 190. I'm your host, Dr. Delane Vaughn. If you are looking for strategies to live a naturally healthy life, you are in the right place. That's what this podcast is dedicated to. Today, we are going to talk about how to do it. I think this is a great time of the year as we're in mid-March and 10 weeks, 11-ish weeks into the new year. It's a great time to kind of review the basics, but we're going to do more than just review the basics in this podcast today. I'm really going to dive into some of the thought work and how we have to have a shift in our belief about what we're doing in order to kind of create these results that we want. It is St. Patty's Day, so happy St. Patty's to everybody. I am wearing my green. I'm wearing my uniform black. It's always funeral weather. I'm just kidding. It's really not always funeral weather. It's just black matches everything. And it matches my purse, which is black, and my shoes, which are black. So I tend to wear a lot of black. But either way, it is Valentine's. It's happy St. Patty's Day. So the reason this is so important, if you don't know, my babies are St. Patty's babies. My twins are St. Patty's babies. So today is my baby's birthday. They turn 15. They break my heart on a regular basis with the growing up that they do. But St. Patty's is kind of a big deal here at our house. So we just got back. We spent a week in a remote cabin in Arkansas, which we go to this little town in Arkansas, and there's climbing, there's rock climbing, and there's also hiking. And we did some of all of that. We enjoyed ourselves, but I had just me and my babies, and it was spring break, and we enjoyed ourselves, and I got to eat them all up and enjoy time with them. Which I realize as they get older is going to be less and less. So I am just off of vacation. This is the first time I've worn makeup in days. So I'm feeling pretty good. So before we get started, I do want to mention to everybody, if you are on meds, right? And I've been mentioning this, and I do think it's very important. If you are on meds for your type 2 diabetes, the things that I tell you to do and the how to do it today, you need to be careful. You need to be very, very careful. The meds that you have been started on were started because of the way you were eating. If you change the way that you eat, you will likely need to change your medications also. And if you don't, you can get very sick. Okay. So please be careful if you are on medications. Please call your provider, the medical provider that has prescribed these medications to you, and let them know that you intend to make some dietary changes and that you will be watching your blood sugars very closely, and you will be calling them for guidance on how they want you to come off of your medications. This is very, very important. If you do not do this, if you do not have somebody to contact about this, you can get very, very ill when you adjust your diet, when you change your diet, when you make the dietary changes that I recommend in these podcast episodes, when you do that and stay on your meds, you can become very sick if you don't have somebody to guide you through that. Okay. So please be careful. Please call your doctor. Please have a line of communication open with them and understand how they want you to contact them with your blood sugars in order for you to start to wean off of your medications. Okay. So that is something I always want to point out. The other thing I want to mention is follow me on Facebook and Instagram. You can find me at Delane MD. There's also a group. I always get the name wrong. I think it's Delane MD Reversing Diabetes, or maybe it's Reversing Diabetes with Delane MD. I should have named it better so that I could remember it, but I didn't find it though. You can almost always find Delane. There's only a handful of us in the world, it seems, but Delane MD. You can find me on Facebook and you can join that group. And it's a free group and it's a private group, though. So you have to ask to join. But you can find me there. You can find me on Facebook, just my plain business page. And then you can also follow me on Instagram, which is actually probably where I'm more active. Also, rate the podcast. If you are finding this information helpful, if this information is changing your life, if this information is changing your health, the more people that rate it, the more times this podcast gets presented to others so that they can get the same help you've gotten. So if you're finding this helpful, please rate the podcast so that others can get access to this and get this presented to them so that they also can get these health benefits. All right. So today we are going to talk about how to do it. So it's a very, very basic strategy that I teach women to utilize in order for them to reverse their type 2 diabetes. It's very, very basic. And then we utilize a few different tools to implement this strategy. Okay. The strategy is really simple. You collect data. You collect data on how many carbs you eat, and you compare that number with your blood sugars. Straightforward. Okay. So if one meal you eat 150 grams of carbs in a single meal, and you check your blood sugar afterwards, and it's 225, the strategy is you cut back on the carbs, right? Like, oh, I ate 150. Maybe I drop it to 75. I wonder what my blood sugar does then. And you collect the data. It's real simple. You count the carbs and you collect the data on your blood sugars. Now, there are some nuances, right? Like there are some things that I will have when the clients send me, my clients will send me a food log, and I look at the data that they send me and I look at their blood sugars and I will say, hey, did you know about this? Hey, did you know about this? Hey, how many grams of protein do you think you're eating also? Sometimes I have to ask for a little more information, but the real basic strategy and what most women will get results with is counting their carbohydrates and comparing it to the blood sugars that they have and then making adjustments from there. The strategies, the tools that I use to help clients do this are three. One is cleaning up your diet. One is intermittent fasting. And the last one is nutritional ketosis. Okay. Cleaning up your diet means you're eating food the way that the earth makes for us, right? The way the earth makes us food matches our biology, and that's what we should be eating. It's real simple. Okay. And I always use the analogy of squirrels and deer, right? Squirrels are not out there complaining about acorns and asking for pizza. They never get bored with it and ask for pizza. Deer never gets bored with grass and asks for Chinese food, right? Like this never happens. This is not how it works in nature. But we as humans, we're like, yes, Earth, I see your cucumbers. I see your lettuce. I see your tomatoes, but I'm going to eat Red Bulls and Doritos. That's why we're sick. It's real simple. Okay. Cleaning up your diet remedies that. It reconciles that difference, that it reconciles our biology with the food that we put in our mouth, essentially, is what it does. Okay. So your food should primarily look like food that you can find on the earth somewhere. Okay. There is no bread bush that you're going to pluck a loaf of bread from and eat. That's not food that aligns with our human biology. It's not that you can't eat it. Jesus did break bread, and I'm not going to argue that. Like, we've eaten bread for a very long time as human beings. It just was never as easy to get a hold of it as it is now going to the grocery store and buying a bag off the shelf. So we didn't eat it all the time. Actually, making bread from scratch is a colossal effort. Okay. So when we're eating bread all the time, we're skipping that effort. 10,000 years ago, which probably bread wasn't around 10,000 years ago, but maybe 1,000 years ago or 400 years ago, when we were eating bread, it took our ancestors a huge effort to grind the grains, the wheat, to pulverize them into enough of it, and then like knead it, and mix everything together and then bake it. That is just a huge, colossal effort, such that we didn't eat it all the time. Is really what it comes down to. It certainly was not as easy as just running to the grocery store and buying another bag of bread because we ran out at home, and then going home and eating it with the next three meals that we're going to have, right? That's where the bread gets sticky, right? Like that's, bread is not a natural food for human beings. And when we eat it all the time, it does not align with our biology. You can go, you understand, I understand, and I am like the most barely self-sufficient human you'll ever meet. Like, I know how carrots grow. I know how lettuce grows. I know how bell peppers grow. I know how strawberries, if you've ever watched my strawberry bush on Instagram, I have a strawberry. It's not a bush, it's a vine. It's really a pathetic little plant that I just pray every day won't die. But sometimes it gives me strawberries. So I know how strawberries come from the ground, okay? There are some foods that are natural foods that maybe I don't have such great understanding, but I still got a pretty good understanding. Nuts are a great example of that, right? Like, I don't know exactly how all nuts grow, but I know they grow from trees. Literally, they're called tree nuts, okay? So nuts are another example of food. That's food that I can imagine somewhere on the earth that the earth makes for us. People always talk about meats, like how do meats fit into that whole philosophy? I always say you can pluck a chicken from the ground. You can pluck it up off the ground And you can point out where the thigh and where the breast and where a chicken leg comes from. But you cannot pluck a chicken off the ground and point out a nugget or a chicken finger, because those aren't real foods. Those aren't natural foods to human beings. Okay. So this basic philosophy and how to clean up your diet really revolves around eating foods that align with our biology. There is not a cereal box tree. There is not a bread tree. There is not a rice tray. I mean, rice does come from the ground, but again, it goes back to the colossal effort that it takes to harvest rice, that we ate very small amounts of it in a natural setting. And I would also like to point out that we never processed out to make minute rice or instant rice. Okay. That's not a natural food or a natural thing for human beings. So thinking of those things, one caveat or one probably nuance to eating foods that are natural that can be found on the earth is dairy. And so I always point out that, like, we're the only animal that still into adult years is eating dairy, eating milk, right? Like, rabbits aren't going to squirrels and saying, hey, can I take a gallon of your milk and feed it to my family? That's not something other animals do. That's something we do. When we talk about being lactose intolerant, we're not lactose intolerant. As mammals, we're not meant to drink milk into our adult years. We lose that enzyme. Okay. So some people handle it okay. Some people aren't upset by the GI distress that comes with it. Cheeses are a little different. Certainly there's some benefits with natural yogurt and the fermentation that goes along with that and how it can be beneficial to our gut. So again, but there's no yogurt tree, right? Like, you're not plucking yogurt from a tree or a bush, right? Like, we're not getting gallons of milk from the milk patch in our gardens, right? That's not in line with that whole, what can we eat off the ground? But you do know where it comes from. Like, we understand how milk is made. So making sure that the foods that you eat, cleaning up your diet, the strategy, the tool of cleaning up your diet really comes down to making sure that you understand where in the earth, where on the earth your food comes from. And if you're not understanding, like, I don't really know how Snickers bars are made, like, I couldn't make that at home, then if you can't really understand that, then it's probably something that needs to be cleaned out of your diet. Okay, that's cleaning up your diet. Intermittent fasting is another strategy that I teach, a tool that I teach women to help them reverse their type 2 diabetes. Intermittent fasting is really giving your body a pause from food. It's pausing in the, you know, I like to call it the other F word because people get real excited. You're going to make me starve. No, nobody's starving. Just calm down. It's just fasting. We as human beings not only survived as fasting animals, like 10,000 years ago, we all fasted because food wasn't available on every street corner. Like, we survived, not only survived though, but we thrived and populated the earth and became the dominant species on the planet doing intermittent fasting. Okay. We created iPhones because we could intermittent fast, right? Like, that's the biology of our bodies. Okay. So intermittent fasting is giving yourself a pause. When we pause from eating, it allows our insulin level to drop. And when our insulin level drops, it allows our cells to heal up and reverse the insulin resistance that's causing our type 2 diabetes. Okay. Intermittent fasting is another strategy that I teach. Real simple. Basically, you just give yourself a break from food. Everybody does this when they're asleep. So I always recommend starting with that sleeping time. Hopefully you're sleeping about 8 hours a night, because that's also what aligns with our biology, somewhere between 7 and 9 hours a night. You're sleeping for that time period, and then you just tack on 2 hours before bed and 2 hours after you get up. And suddenly you've got a 12-hour fast right there. And then you just start extending that period out until you get the results that you get. That's intermittent fasting. And then the last strategy or tool that I teach women is nutritional ketosis. I don't use this as frequently. I think that it complicates things a lot, but it is a tool that some women need. So nutritional ketosis is basically switching your energy sourcing from using carbohydrates as your primary source of energy for your cells to utilizing fat or ketone bodies as the primary source of energy for your cells. When you do this, ketone bodies and fats are utilized as energy in a way that does not rely on insulin. So it allows that insulin level to drop low. That's what we do. Okay. So those are the basic how to do it. When I talk about how to do it, this is it. Okay. What I realized from working with women for the years that I've worked with women to help them reverse their type 2 diabetes is knowing that is one thing and implementing it is something different. So When I talk about cutting the crap out of your diet or cleaning up your diet, women know this. Nobody needs me to tell them to stop eating chocolate cake. Y'all know chocolate cake is a problem with your type 2 diabetes. Okay. You know, you need to cut that from your diet. The question that always is more intriguing is, why do you continue to eat the things that are making you sick? Why do you continue to do the things that aren't supporting the resolution of what you want, right? The resolution of your diabetes. Why do you keep eating the chocolate cake knowing that it causes your type 2 diabetes? Why do you keep eating sandwiches when you know the bread is causing your diabetes? Why do you keep eating potatoes when you know that they're causing your diabetes? And potatoes are the natural food, right? Like, we can find that in the earth somewhere. You dig it up out of the ground, it's a potato, right? But if you know that that food is causing your blood sugars to be high, for right now, that's something that probably needs to be axed from your experience for a little bit. Okay. Nobody got diabetic because of their potato problem. Okay. I shouldn't say that. I say it about fruit all the time. Nobody got diabetic because of their banana problem. And that's true. But I do sometimes wonder if we don't get diabetic because of the fried potato products that we indulge in, French fries, tater tots, those kinds of things. I could see where maybe that would lead to it. But either way, the question, the work, but how to do it really comes from looking at what you believe about that food, about the chocolate cake, about the rice, about the potato chips, about the pizza. What do you believe about it that is making you continue to eat it, even though you know it's making you sick and keeps you from moving in the direction you want to go? So this comes from looking at your beliefs about these foods. So one of the most basic questions that I have been working with my clients on recently is, what do you believe is healthy? What is your belief about what is healthy? What does being healthy mean to you? And what I have found is a lot of women have strong beliefs about what makes a healthy meal that does not align with reversing their type 2 diabetes. Okay. So sometimes this is straightforward, very straightforward. This is like, oh, I thought growing up, I always ate what I thought was healthy. And that was a meat and veggies and a starch. Like, that's what quote unquote health, a healthy meal is. Okay. And of course, that's not creating the blood sugars that you want. Okay. Especially if you're trying to do that 3 times a day. Okay. We see this belief about what's healthy with doctors all the time. We see it like dietitians and what the ADA and what the doctors teach, but some of this is also ingrained in like our diet culture, right? Like, I want to have a healthier relationship with food. And if I'm telling myself I can't have the cake, then I'm creating an unhealthy relationship with food. Okay. And so figuring out what is healthy, right? If I believe that telling myself no about a food that creates diabetes in my body, if I believe that telling myself no is unhealthy, clearly telling myself yes is. Like, it's such an easy jump. So really unpacking what we believe, right? And where are we getting our beliefs? I'm getting my belief from my parents, who also, by the way, were diabetic, right? Like, oh, okay, that maybe not the place to look for my belief about health. When we look to our doctors and to the quote unquote healthcare industry in America. And guys, I am a physician. I am a board certified family practice doctor. I am a physician. I am an MD. I am part of this system, the quote unquote healthcare system. And I'm here to tell you that we do not do health. The healthcare system in America does not create health. The healthcare system in America manages disease, period, end of sentence. They manage disease. I had 2 experiences over the last few years that have really blown my mind about what we as a healthcare quote unquote industry are doing. Okay. The first one, I was at a health fair, quote unquote, a health fair, and there was a diabetes booth set up essentially. And it was an ADA sponsored. There was ADA sponsorship all over. So ADA is the American Diabetes Association, for anybody who's not sure what I'm talking about when I talk about the ADA. And part of that booth was a picture of a plate, and the plate was divided up into like 4 or nearly 4. They were nearly equal. They weren't perfectly equal, but 4 quadrants, and basically teaching people how to eat based on these quadrants. Okay. And in one of the quadrants was starch. Like that's what it was labeled, the starch quadrant. And I about, of course, swallow my tongue. I'm like, why is this a thing? And so I asked the diabetes educator, the nutritionist, I believe it was a nutritionist, the dietitian that was there. I asked her, I said, hey, tell me more about this plate. Why are we promoting for type 2 diabetics that there's any amount of starch that they should be eating when they've clearly already eaten a lifetime's allotment to the point that it's made them sick with diabetes? Why is this a thing that we do? And her answer to me, which blew my mind, was we get better compliance that way. We get better compliance from our diabetics when we allow them to eat the thing that makes them sick. I'm like, oh, are we doing this with cigarettes now too? Like, oh, I get better compliance when I tell my patients not to smoke cigarettes, but I allow them to smoke 2 or 3 a day, right? Like, that's fine. You can smoke 2 or 3 cigarettes a day, but you're not going to be healthy. You're not creating health that way. It's fine. You can eat the starches, but it's not going to create health. And being clear about that, because so many diabetics go to these diabetic educators and they're like, they're teaching me how to do it and do it healthy. And it's not what we're being taught at all. You're being taught how to manage a disease and that's it. It's disease management care, not healthcare. Okay. And I had a very similar experience with a colleague in my town whom I have deep amount of respect for. They are a diabetes doctor. I have a deep, deep amount of respect for this human, for this doctor. Looked up to this person repeatedly in my training. And really, they do a great job of promoting healthy lifestyle. And I appreciate that. But I went to a conference where I heard this individual speak, and they were talking, they were going through all of the meds to give. And of course, this like fires me up. I'm like, there's no amount of med that we're going to give that makes eating the starches, a quarter of your diet being starches. There's no amount of med that's going to make that okay. Like that's going to reverse or fix type 2 diabetes or give you normal biology. There's no amount of med that we are going to give that gives you normal biology if you're continuing to eat a quarter of your diet in starches. Period. End of sentence. So in my brain, I was like, I couldn't get it to clip. And so I reached out to this individual. I reached out and I said, hey, can we go out for coffee one day? I'd love to meet with you. And I have so much respect for you. And I just, am I off base? Am I wrong? Is really what I was worried about. And they were gracious enough and they did meet with me for coffee. And I asked them, I said, hey, so, you know, I work with women with type 2 diabetes. You know, I work with them to kind of help them make lifestyle modifications. I said, I thought that type 2 diabetes is almost always secondary to dietary choices, to the way that we eat and live our life. But when you were talking, like nobody was talking about this. And this individual, in the most candid honesty, is like, yeah, that's because there's no money to be made there. That's the response I got from this individual. Again, expert in the field, brilliant human, knows the literature. And that was the reason they were like, well, yeah, because there's no money to be made by telling people to change the way they eat. So that's never going to be part of the guidelines. So recognize when you're trying to figure out what's healthy, the people that you've been going to may not be the ones that are going to actually teach that. And it's not because they're bad people. I still have a ton of respect for all of these individuals. It's just, they're not interested in teaching you how to get healthy. They are interested in teaching you how to manage a disease state. What I teach my clients is how to get healthy. And so part of what it means to be healthy has to really be investigated. Because if you believe that a meat, veggies, and starches is what makes a healthy meal, it's going to be very difficult to reverse your type 2 diabetes that way. Okay. If being healthy in your brain doesn't have anything to do with a specific food, but has to do with this mentality of a healthy relationship with food, it does not matter what you're putting in your mouth. If you're believing that you're creating an unhealthy, like if I don't eat chocolate cake, I'm creating an unhealthy relationship with food, you're never going to get to that place of health, of reversing your type 2 diabetes. Okay. And a lot of times this really is what women are looking for. In fact, this was what I was looking for. I was looking to have a healthy relationship with food, to not constantly be so consumed and riddled with chaos in my brain about food. That was what I was looking for. I was looking for a way to not eat foods in a way that made, that created illness in my body. I was looking for a way to not sacrifice what was important to me in my health for something that was less important to me in the form of M&Ms, right? And that's that concept of delay discounting that I've talked about, right? Like in the moment, we discount the benefit of having normal biology and a healthy weight that I wanted. That was for me what I wanted, normal biology and a healthy weight. And I discounted the value of that for the value in the moment of eating the food that was creating all this chaos in my brain. Okay. So the security and the trust that comes that from knowing I'm moving in the direction of my health was what I wanted and what a lot of women want. Okay. But you have to know what that is. And all of this is belief work. Okay. So sometimes it does come from looking at what your body is doing. And that's what I want you, it's looking at all of it, not just what your body is doing, but also what your thoughts are about it, right? And that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. And we're going to talk about that here in a moment. But definitely there is this element of counting carbs, looking at what your blood sugar does, and then implementing these tools like I talk about, cleaning up your diet, intermittent fasting, and ketosis, right? Like that is part of the knowledge you have to gain, okay? But you definitely want to collect the data and make the changes. But if you're holding a belief that when I don't allow myself to eat these foods that are causing my blood sugars to rise up, and that's unhealthy when I don't allow myself to eat the food, like you're going to keep yourself stuck, right? Because you have a belief that if I don't allow myself to eat that food, it's unhealthy. I'm creating an unhealthy relationship with my body about food, or an unhealthy relationship with food. But when you eat the food, it creates disease in your body. Okay. That's a belief issue. Okay. If you believe that comfort food actually alters your mood, then to feel better, you're going to have the comfort food, the belief issue. If you believe that when you get sick with COVID or with influenza or whatever it might be, and you've always fed that to feel better, you're not going to be able to create a diabetes-free living without doing that component, okay? Because that's a belief thing. So when you see that you're doing this, you're having, maybe you're feeling the chaos. That was for me. I felt chaos around eating and I did not like that. I didn't want that. That was not how I wanted to feel about the thing that I needed to do to fuel my cells every day. I didn't want to feel anxious and chaotic about it. If you find that you're not sure or that you don't trust yourself, that's the other big one. I don't trust myself to do the thing that I need to do. Go back to a moment where you didn't do the thing that moved you towards your health. Go back to the last time that you can remember when you ate something with the knowledge, like you're like, it was the chocolate cake, right? Like there's nobody sitting there going, oh, more chocolate cake is clearly the answer to fixing my type 2 diabetes. Nobody has that belief, right? There's nobody, I mean, like, even if like you have one of those old beliefs that like carbohydrates aren't creating diabetes and it's actually related to fat and the fat's coating the receptors and the message between the insulin and the insulin receptors can't be heard. Even if you hear, if like you're believing that old belief, which is not supported by evidence anymore, but even if you do believe that, there is no alternate universe where you're like, well, clearly chocolate cake's okay though. Like, even if you're like, I don't know that it's carbohydrates. Nobody's sitting around saying, oh, chocolate cake's healthy in this situation though. Okay. In fact, I would offer that there's probably never a time that eating chocolate cake, it's like smoking a cigarette. There's never a time where smoking a cigarette is healthy for your cells, right? There's never a time where eating chocolate cake is healthy for your cells. Okay. It's just not. And that's okay. But you ate it anyway. I want you to go back to that time where you ate it anyway. I don't know what my dogs are all excited about. There's the UPS man or FedEx is somebody's at the door. I don't know. There's probably just a leaf blowing outside. Go to that moment where you ate the food that you knew was not in alignment, moving you towards your health. And then ask yourself why you did it. What is there to learn here? I always like to, a lot of time we get really judgy, like I shouldn't have done it. And we end up ruminating in this, like, how could I have done it differently? And I think it's so interesting. I found that when I am ruminating, when I'm having ruminating thoughts, Why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. I'm so ridiculous. I'm never going to figure it out. I'm never going to get on top of this. I'm never going to win. This is always going to be a struggle. And I ruminate. I just keep circulating those thoughts in my brain. I find that when I'm doing that activity in my brain, it's usually because I want a different outcome. And I keep trying to replay it until I get another outcome. It's very interesting. So whenever I see my brain ruminating a thought, I know it's because I'm judging whatever happened. And I'm not necessarily looking at it neutrally. So if you do that, I want you to check the judgment at the door. Okay. It keeps us, that judgment keeps us from seeing what's actually there. And this is the strategy of actually changing our thoughts, guys. Okay. This is the way that we actually change our thoughts. We take the judgment and we carve that out and we put it aside. We'll deal with it later if we want to. But right now I ate chocolate cake. That's what I did. And that's just a neutral fact of what happened. Chocolate cake went into my mouth. So I like to always ask myself why. Not from a judgy spot, right? Like again, immediately, why? Well, switches. Why did I do that? Why? From a very neutral space, from the belief, I like to have the belief like this was always supposed to happen this way. It was always supposed to be like this. This was always going to happen this way. Nothing's went wrong. So why? What's here for me to learn? Why did I do this? These are powerful questions that give you answers like, oh, I didn't want to offend somebody. Oh, I really think chocolate cake tastes good. I think chocolate cake tastes so good that I'm willing to sacrifice something I want more, which is health. What do you believe about the situation that led to this? I believe that when I'm around chocolate cake, I have no willpower. I believe that I can't trust myself around chocolate cake. And then asking yourself the questions like, is this even true? Like if $1 million was on the table for me not to eat chocolate cake, I would trust the shit out of myself. I'd have no question. Like getting $1 million, I'm not eating the chocolate cake. There wouldn't be one question about that. That would be true. And then when I get to a space where I'm like, no, it's actually not true that I can't trust myself. Like I totally can trust myself around chocolate cake. Then I ask myself the question, is there any benefit to continuing to believe that I can't? Is there any benefit in continuing to believe that meat and veggies and a starch are healthy? Is there any benefit to continuing to believe that when I don't eat chocolate cake, I'm creating an unhealthy, toxic relationship with food in my body and my brain? Is there any benefit to continuing to believe this? I love this example, like for time, like being busy. Like I don't have enough time. I'm so busy. I don't have enough time to do the things I need to do. Right. Is there any benefit to believing that? Because the fact of the matter is we all have 24 hours in a day. That's all we have. Like there's not going to be more. You're not going to make more time. So is there any benefit to telling myself that I don't have enough time? Because when I do, I feel rushed. I do half-assed work. I try to cram too many things in because there's not enough time, right? Like the story just ruminates in my brain and I don't show up to the world in a way I want to show up. When I'm telling myself that if I deprive myself of chocolate cake, I'm creating a toxic relationship with food. Do I want to keep believing that? Because is there any benefit to believing that? When I eat chocolate cake, my blood sugars go up and create diabetes in my biology, in my body. Is there any benefit to believing that when I don't eat the chocolate cake, I'm doing something toxic to my relationship with food? I don't think there is. So is it true? Is it something I want to keep believing? Other questions, why do I do this? Okay. Why am I behaving this way? Why is this something that keeps showing up? I found this recently in my own journaling. I was annoyed. I was feeling annoyed and I was trying to figure out, like, annoyed is one of my go-to feelings. If you ever heard me talk about annoyance, irritation, and frustrations, right? AFI is what I call it. And sometimes it's, sometimes I think is a little different, but most of the time it's frustration, annoyance, and irritation. And I would experience this when I worked clinically, when I was in my clinical practice, the last job I had, and like I left it in like, I think it was 2020 is when I left that job. I would have a lot of annoyance, frustration, and irritation. And what I've realized is when I have annoyance, it was coming from a space of entitlement. And I don't like entitlement or the way it shows up in my life. I've yet to find a place where entitlement has me showing up to my life in a way that I like. when I think about entitlement, I think of entitlement as feeling like I am owed something that I didn't work for. That's entitlement in my brain. Okay. And I don't think that there's anything that I'm owed that I didn't work for. I was raised with the belief that, you know, you work hard for what you get. And if you're not working, you're not going to get the things, you're not owed anything. So I like that belief and I hold it, but it's not for everybody. But when I feel entitlement, I don't enjoy that. And I know that I don't show up in my relationships, in my life, the way I want to when I'm feeling entitled. And what I started to realize recently when I was doing this journaling work was I was feeling annoyed because I was entitled. I was feeling entitled to something. There was a belief about the way something should be. Okay. And I was expecting a behavior from people in my life that I had never told them I had the expectation for, which then just made me crack up. Like, that just made me laugh. Like, how ridiculous that I would expect somebody to do something and never tell them that I expected that, right? The work that I needed to do was have a conversation about this is what I expect. That was leading to this entitlement because it wasn't happening. And then I was annoyed. Whereas the fact of the matter was, I didn't do the work to get it. And from that space, it very much diffused. It made me laugh out loud. I laughed at myself. So when you're having these experiences where you're behaving in a way that you are not in love with, like you're having these dietary excursions, you're eating foods that you really know are moving you away from the goal of being free of diabetes, asking yourself why you're doing this. Why are you behaving that way from a really neutral place? And if you're able to really look at the story that you're telling yourself about that food, again, like I was having this story that somebody should be behaving in a certain way that I hadn't told them about it. Why are you telling yourself, what is the story that you have about the food that continues to keep you eating the food? And from that neutral space, see what you can uncover. When I was able to do this with this like relationship issue, I just started laughing at myself. It was very funny to me. But when you're having these beliefs about the food, right? Like, and even, I mean, you can almost get a similar experience from when we realize that, oh, I'm telling myself, if I tell myself that I can't have chocolate cake, when I deny myself chocolate cake, I'm creating a toxic relationship with food. But it's also when I give myself the chocolate cake, I'm creating disease in my body, right? Like that dichotomy of beliefs has to be reconciled for you ever to start learning how to live that naturally healthy life. So I'm so grateful for having done this work with the food, right? Because this work with the food has changed everything in my life, right? The example I just used was about a relationship issue, right? Like it's changed everything in my life. Being able to see these beliefs and how they showed up with food, and then applying those strategies to every other aspect of my life. It really has kind of taken the lid off the ability to be happy in any situation, which is a gift. Okay. But this is the work that we do in the coaching group. Like this is what we work on. You guys do not need me to tell you to not eat chocolate cake. Y'all know that. The reason that we continue to eat the cake, despite it making us sick, is the part that we have to work on. And this is the process of really investigating and looking at what we believe, challenging them. Are they true? Is there any benefit in holding on to this belief, even when it feels true, like there's not enough time, right? Is there any benefit to holding on to that? Why am I doing it? Do I want to keep doing this? Those are the things that we do in coaching. So if that's something you're ready for, you know that you can contact me, send me a message, Delaine@DelaineMD.com. I'm happy to set you up. We'll get you set up for a consult so you can get started in the program if that's something you're interested in. If you have any questions about any of this, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'm going to check the YouTube comments, make sure there's nothing on there, but I'm going to sign off of the podcast before I do that. But to make sure everybody knows, I do record these. I broadcast the podcast recording on YouTube. So that's just another site that you can get a hold of me at YouTube. Again, it's Delaine MD. You can always get a hold of the podcasts earlier though, because I always broadcast them there. And then I just pull that and post it onto the podcast players. So if you're interested in that, follow me over on YouTube. I will be back next week. I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.